Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 13. But before I read that, take a look with me, if you have scriptures with you, in Psalm 86. Right here, this verse is known as the entrance antiphon. In other words, there is always, at the beginning of Mass, a verse from Scripture. It's not said out loud, but I would encourage you, the priest does, but I would encourage you to look at the entrance antiphons at Mass. Now, you won't find them in some of the missalettes, but in other missals, you will find the entrance antiphons. You'll find all the prayers of the church. Turn your ear, O Lord, and answer me. Save the servant who trusts in you, my God. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I cry to you all the day long. I love that verse of Scripture. Actually, it's several verses, verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 86. Make that your own. You could just take that verse and use it before Mass begins. Turn your ear, O Lord, and answer me. Save the servant who trusts in you, my God. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I cry to you all the day long. Do you cry out to the Lord all the day long? We should. O God, who caused the minds of the faithful to unite in a single purpose, grant your people to love what you command and to desire what you promise. Look at that. Grant your people to love what you command and to desire what you promise. That amid the uncertainties of this world, our hearts may be fixed on that place where true gladness is found. Somebody once said humorously, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. It's a feeble joke in one sense, because it's only by keeping our mind on what awaits us, not to escape from this world, but keeping in mind, having the vision, the widening of the vision to see what awaits us if we're faithful now, and to live in that. And that's why that opening prayer is so beautiful. Grant your people to love what you command and to desire what you promise. If 1 foot in the kingdom and 1 foot in this world, that's okay. That's okay. Because it can help us to say, one of the saints used to say, what is this? Whatever the this might be, the circumstances of my day. What is this in light of eternity? It's a good way of keeping your eyes fixed on heaven while fully taking care of the things on earth. Think about it. What is it that you can put in front of you that will help you to grow in an eternal perspective? Might just be a verse from Scripture that when you say it, it calls you back to what's really important. First reading from Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 9 to 13. You recall, brothers and sisters, our toil and drudgery, working night and day in order not to burden any of you. We proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved toward you believers. As you know, we treated each one of you as a father treats his children, exhorting and encouraging you and insisting that you walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And for this reason, we too give thanks to God unceasingly, that in receiving the word of God from hearing us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it truly is the word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. How many times have I said to you, and I speak to myself, that the Word of God is living? The Word of God has the power to change your life. You just have to put it not as something on the periphery of your life, but something dead center. The power of His Word. It will shape you. It will give you wisdom and understanding. It will help you because the Word is living. It's not like any other book you pick up. The Word of God is living, active. Word of God has power to shape your life. But the Word of God, God Himself, will never violate your free will. You have to make the choice. God will never force anything on you. It's offered. He invites again and again and again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What Scripture tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are you going to open the door or not? You recall, brothers and sisters, our toil and drudgery, working night and day in order not to burden any of you. We proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. I'm reading this again. I want you to get it. As you know, we treated each one of you as a father treats his children, exhorting and encouraging you and insisting that you walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. His kingdom and his glory. That's what we're called to. And for this reason, we too give thanks to God unceasingly that in receiving the word of God from hearing us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it truly is the word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. Have you received it? Have you really received it? What happens is that the more you read the word of God, the more you daily ponder his word, the more you're going to hunger for it. Something changes inside you. A peace. There's usually a battle because you're having to decide now not just to pay small attention to the word of God, but now it begins to occupy more of a place. And effectively, it has to push out a few other things that are not of God. Let the word of God work in you. Let it bear fruit. You have searched me and you know me, Lord. Psalm 139, I've said this many times, and again I encourage you, make Psalm 139 one of those psalms that you read very frequently. By that I mean at least once a week. Read it until you memorize it. Where can I go from your spirit? From your presence, where can I flee? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I sink to the netherworld, you are present there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall guide me, and your right hand hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall hide me, and night shall be my light, for you, darkness itself is not dark, and night shines as the day. That's just a section. Psalm 139 is very long and very worth reading a lot, even memorizing. It will help you to keep your priorities straight and to see the promises of God. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 27 to 32, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." He didn't spare, did he? He didn't spare anything. Woe to you. Here are supposedly the leaders of God's people. No wonder they were angry with him. And what happened was their pride got in the way. They couldn't hear the truth because they were deafened by their own voices and by their own dreams and by their own ambitions, by their own pride. They were deafened. Don't let that happen to you. You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones. Wow. What a statement. So the Pharisees could choose either to allow themselves to really listen or to get angry and irate and want to kill him. When somebody presents something to you that's pretty hard for you to hear, do you try to excuse it, dismiss it, or take your anger out on the messenger? What do you do? Because oftentimes the reason we're angry is because we know there's a truth to it, and we don't want anybody else to see that. We're furious that somebody saw through me. So we cover it up by, quote, our righteous behavior. Oh, brothers and sisters, just stop it. We're nothing without God. But in Christ, in God, we will live forever in glory, splendor, and beauty. Beauty, the fullness of truth, the fullness of goodness, with love and joy and peace. Thank goodness, brothers and sisters, make your choice and renew your choice. Frankly, renew it every day, because it's so easy to get caught off guard and to be pulled in a direction that you wonder at the end of the day, how did I get into that mess? So ask God every day, ask him to direct you. Even so, on the outside you appear righteous, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! Jesus is really angry, and it's righteous anger. You build the tombs of the prophets, you adorn the memorials of the righteous, and you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophet's blood. Oh, no. And yet that's exactly what they're about to do, and they're too blind and deaf to see it. Don't let yourself fall into that position. It's hard to get out. The gospel goes on, thus you bear witness against yourselves that you are the children of those who murdered the prophets. Now fill up what your ancestors measured out. Now, who heard him? Who among that group heard him? We won't know until heaven. But my guess is there were some who were at least troubled by what he said. There might have been some people who asked some questions. But if they were deep into hypocrisy, it would be hard for them to break from the pattern and to stand outside and to say, I think we need to pay attention to what Jesus is saying. It's hard for us today. Jesus was angry here, justifiably angry. He wanted them to fulfill their office for the right reasons so that it could bring life to people. Rather than getting people bound more and more and more by every jot and tittle of the law, and no matter what went on in their hearts and minds, as long as they observed the law externally, they were fine. And that's not true. That's hypocrisy of the worst kind. Brothers and sisters, take a look at your own lives, please. Please. Thank you. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.